Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back. It's quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. Conference tournaments are tipping off, bubble teams are making their final push, and the top seeds are preparing for what they hope is a long run. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, it's putting new customers in the center of the action. You bet $4 on an underdog, win $256 if they win. It's that simple. Pick one of many select college basketball underdogs for your shot at winning $256. All it takes is a $4 bet. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code KSN when you sign up to turn $4 into $256 if the underdog of your choosing pulls off the upset. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, restrictions apply, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. As I said, it's quarter number four, the Keystone Kickoff Show. That means we get Bob and Andy back in. Great to have you back, guys. We also need to announce our winner for Ask Ross segment, and that was Steve from Chicago. Steve, I'll be getting in touch with you, and we'll be able to get you out your KSN polo shirt now that the weather is turning. It'll be perfect. Guys, it's time to pick up our series from Bob's article, 21 items for the 2021 season. And this week, our items are all about the wide receiver position. Let's start with this one, Bob. You wrote, they need a plan for Parker Washington's follow-up act. What do you mean by that?
Well, that was quite a first year for Parker Washington. And I don't know outside of the Penn State program that a lot of people saw this one coming. They didn't have spring drills, so there was no tip-off that maybe this guy was really going to be a good player. I just remember James and Sean Clifford both saying right away they could tell he was going to be really tough to guard, especially he was so quick coming underneath. Interesting to note, he's built almost like a running back, you know, 5'10", 205. That's usually James likes his receivers a little bit bigger, and when they're 5'10 or 5'9", they're built more along the lines of a guy like KJ Hamler, who was, you know, barely 175. This guy, and it showed up right after the catch. He was really tough, I think, to bring down. I think he plays bigger than his size. It's easy for him to get open. He should have plenty of opportunities against secondaries, because I have to think after what Jahan Dotson did last year, they're going to be very fearful of him. But it's just rare when you see somebody. So Jahan Dotson didn't do this when he was a true freshman. He was not nearly as prolific as Parker. I just wonder what his ceiling is, you know. I don't know. He's not an outside receiver. I mean, he's going to basically be a slot guy. I don't know how Mike Yurcich will use him as well. I mean, Penn State needs to continue to attack all areas of the field. And I think he is just going to be somebody that's going to be really hard to deal with on slants and also just working the middle of the field. I think he's got to be very tough for a defensive back to cover. I'm curious to see, though, what he will do for an encore, because after we've seen what he did as a true freshman, I think the expectations are that he's going to better that as a sophomore, and that's not always guaranteed.
Andy, I thought Bob brought up a great point about his build, and he is built like a running back. Last year, it seemed like we got a couple little glimpses of that, but I'm really expecting this year to see him make some big runs after the catch. How about you?
So that's one thing, and Bob brought up a point about James really. Parker Washington isn't the quote-unquote ideal size that James Franklin likes in, per se in his wide receivers. But if I think about it and I go back and look, okay, well, James kind of prefers to have that bigger receiver in his offense. Well, he's never really had it because they've never really kind of developed. Right? If you go back, Juwan Johnson never really developed, you know. They've never really had that big guy that's come the big receiver that he wanted in the offense. So this is, even though he's 5'10", in terms of what you get after the catch, the way he's physical when guys try and stick on him, and the way he gets himself open, this is about as close as it's gotten, in my opinion, to a guy that could make that kind of impact at 5'10", 205 pounds. Run yards after the catch is about athleticism, not about strength. I think he has some of it, but you say, what is a good expectation? Don't forget, second half of that season, they were a running offense. I think a realistic expectation, 50 catches for this guy, right? One out of six catches last year was a touchdown. You know, so you go one out of five, you give him 50 catches and six touchdowns. That's going to be, in my estimation, the kind of season that would be a realistic expectation for a guy like Parker Washington. But he is certainly a weapon for Sean Clifford and this offense.
See, I think, Bob, that strength he has, that build like a running back, would be critical for those yards after catch, not just the athleticism, but that strength to break that first tackle.
Yeah, I would definitely agree, and you saw it. I'm not even sure that he's 5'10 in terms of height, but he's a powerfully built receiver, and with those legs and that quickness in space, I think he can run through some tackles too. I think he surprises some defensive backs who think just because he's not the tallest guy that he's going to be easy to bring down, and I think that's just playing right into. That's right in his wheelhouse because I think he's a lot stronger than he looks.
Go ahead,
I would say he's physically engaging to a defense and a corner or a safety as a wide receiver, and that kind of surprises them. In other words, he can thump you. He'll hit you and keep moving, and I think that's a big part of his game.
Well, in the wide receiver room, we know we have Jahan Dotson back. I think we all agree we do expect Parker Washington to be a good number two. Sure. I'm not sure he would have been ready to become the number one.
Yeah.
I believe the assumption might be Keandre Lambert-Smith as the number three, but that's not enough wide receivers. And that leads us to Bob's next item on the list, which is about establishing depth at wide receiver, Bob.
Yeah, it was a problem. It's been a problem at Penn State, when they've gone to the spread, establishing that other outside receiver. Penn State's always been able, I think, to find a go-to receiver, whether it was Chris Godwin when James Franklin got here. Even Deshaun Hamilton was able to kind of grow into that role after Godwin left. He was kind of that guy in 2017. So I think that Penn State is always going to have one or two good receiving options. The problem is, too often it's been a tight end. So I'm wondering about guy. You mentioned Keandre Lambert-Smith. I'm wondering about another guy in his class that played very little, Jaden Dotton. I don't know what the future holds for him. I think I mentioned a little bit earlier in this podcast a guy like Lonnie White, if they can get him to campus and he doesn't turn out to be a baseball player. I think he's obviously a big wideout. And I'm just going to throw this out there. Mike Yurcich has talked about getting, building his scheme around the talents of the players, and not the reverse of that, playing to the strengths of the offense. And I think we all would say we really like the two tight end offense with Brenton Strange and Theo Johnson. But the way that Theo Johnson moves at 250 pounds, I almost wonder if they'll almost use him in some formations as a big wideout.
Yeah, we saw a lot of success with the two tight ends last year. You certainly have the talent there. Let's get talent on the field. But I was wondering, Andy, are we still going to see, can we still expect something more from the couple veterans there, Daniel George and Cam Sullivan Brown?
Wow, I'm completely off the Cam Sullivan Brown train. If you couldn't find it last year, then it's sort of like when opportunity knocks, if you can't find it, and they're that thin and young at the position as they were in 2020, if you can't find it, then it's off. Daniel George got a shot, right? He just couldn't grab the bull by the horns, right? He couldn't take Kamara had a couple drops. After the Iowa game, I don't think he caught a pass the rest of the year. He didn't play hardly almost at any point, you know, the last four or five games, at least the last three or four for sure, he didn't play. So that, I don't know if that was a product of what they were doing, but Pat Freiermuth was out of tight end, and Bob's right. The two tight ends might make up and cover some for the lack of depth at the wide receiver position as it develops, but I don't think if you expect anything from Daniel Jones, then that's a mistake.
Just ahead, real Bob. Quick, I'd be surprised if you don't see Keandre Lambert-Smith make a pretty significant jump this year.
I agree.
I think Parker Washington was an amazing story, even more amazing because – you know, he kind of had to hit the ground running right away. He didn't really have the benefit, you know, of spring practice. I think that might have held Keandre back a little bit. I think the winter conditioning combined with working with Yursich and Stubblefield in the spring should give him every advantage to really be that third receiver when they have three receivers in the spread. And Andy, to your point, if you're a good receiver at Penn State, James Franklin and the receivers coach knows it by either year one or year two. If we're still talking about hoping for a breakout in what's his fourth year now because he gets to repeat, the track record just isn't very good of that happening at Penn State if you're a wideout.
Okay, guys, we have like a minute left. I think they need someone to step up along among the young receivers. I want each of you to give me one of these guys. Jaden Daunton, Malik Mega, Lonnie White, Liam Clifford. Andy, go first. You got 30 seconds. Who's going to step up?
So I'll go with the family ties combo, right? I'll take Liam Clifford. His brother's probably going to be the quarterback unless something happens. So
Nepotism.
So I'm going with the family ties and nepotism. I'll take Liam Clifford.
Who, yeah, by the way, is bigger than I thought he was going to be. Go ahead, Bob. You got your 30.
It's a great pick, and if Sean's not going to look his brother's way, then there's going to be some. I think there's going to be some family squabbling. I'm still fascinated by Lonnie White if they get him to stay at college. I think he has a chance to be just a spectacular athlete for Penn State.
I'm really excited, Bob, about both those. I think those were two good picks. I'm really excited about Lonnie White, but I'm really concerned about baseball. I've seen some mock drafts that have him going in the first round. Be tough to turn that down, fellas. All right, that is it for our show. Thank you all so much for listening, and be sure to join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new customers in the center of the college basketball action. Bet $4 on an underdog in select college basketball games, and if they win, you collect $256. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using code KSN. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.